Hello, thanks for listening to Seals City SD. I'm Nick Buchanan. I'm joined by Seals Jagoff.
Hey, it's been a while.
It has. It's been too long. We're also joined by Andy Keats.
What up?
Hey. Well, there's been a lot's happened this summer. We're going into season two, and the Seals have been active.
They did not fold.
They've
survived the first season.
Yeah. Joe Tsai is buying, or, you know, he's taking control of massive franchises all over the globe, and he's had a good summer, but we're going to focus on the Seals here, so.
I would say, would you agree that the Joe Tsai talk on a national level is far ahead of where it was a year and 2 years ago?
Yeah. I mean, the New Jersey Nets had a big summer, and, you know, he's the man now.
Right, we're peak Tsai, because I don't think anyone knew who he was. I mean, he was a minority owner of the Nets, but nobody really knew him.
Right.
Nobody knows the minority owner.
It, like, keeps getting brought up as, like, a subtle reason that Durant and Irving went there.
The Alibaba guy.
Yeah.
That's what they always call
him. Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, it's good. They've got this marketing plan to make them huge in China.
And they always say, like, well, Durant, you know, Durant's into tech.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, he's got, like, a little VC firm.
Yeah, he has a friend who probably is into tech or something.
I think it's funny that he now owns one of the most valuable sports properties, like, in the country.
And also the Seals.
All he tweets about is pick up basketball games and like, lacrosse, the Whip Snakes in the PLL. And, like, he couldn't care less about the Nets, it seems like.
He does not seem too concerned about the Nets. Yeah, his Twitter feed is not a lot of, like, Kyrie Irving summer league stuff.
Well, it's a side project that gets the attention it deserves. He's a Seals guy.
Right.
Well, you know, the biggest thing, I mean, the first thing that we should probably talk about is that, you know, Austin Stotts will be back, and he signed a 3-year extension. Do we know if he's going to start the season with his ACL recovery?
I don't know that we know that, but we do know that the World Indoor Lacrosse Championships are happening right now, and he is not playing in them, which I presumed to be related to his knee.
Right. Yeah. His brother's playing
for
Iroquois Nation.
Yes, and as our many other great players in the league, you'd think he would be there if he was fully healthy. He's played in the past,
I believe. Yeah. At the same time, though, he was working youth camps and stuff this this summer. The Seals kept him around all year, so he's clearly on the payroll of some kind. And
yeah,
it's not like he's not walking and running and stuff.
Yeah, I think he'll be back, if not to start the year early in the year.
Yeah.
Just judging from
what did he have? Torn ACL.
Torn ACL.
I mean,
it's a straightforward.
We're way
recovery.
Past what it usually takes to recover from that. So
yeah.
Look, guys, I had ACL surgery when I was 20, and it was in December, and I was back lugging textbooks around a college campus like 6 months later. So,
I see no reason you can't come back then.
What were the circumstances around your ACL tear?
I tore it twice. The second time I twisted it playing football.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
So
all right, good. Recovery was okay, though?
It was. I mean, when you're that young, it's faster. Yeah. You know, so.
He's very young, too.
Yeah. He is.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so we got Stotts signed long-term.
Right.
Long-term relative to how NLL contracts work. And then there were a series of additions and subtractions. I think we should probably lead with the biggest of those additions was Wes Berg.
Yeah.
Right? Berg did not play in the NLL last year at all. When he last played, though, he was one of the best players in the league. He sat out last year, I guess, in a contract dispute.
Yeah, held out all year. I was talking to Nick before we started recording, but I went back and read all of the holdout articles about it. Yeah. And when you read them, it's as if Dane Doby doesn't even exist.
Yes.
Like, Dane Doby was a supporting role before then. Curtis Dixon and Wes Berg were the stars that scored all the points for the team.
Right.
And so, after reading that, it made me think, like, oh my God, we're getting Dane Doby, basically. Like,
yeah. Yeah. So to any new listeners, Dane Doby is our arch enemy.
But also defending MVP of the league.
Yes. Yeah. Defending MVP of the league and the championship winning Calgary Roughnecks.
Maybe they just have a system that produces stars like that.
Oh God. Are you saying he might be a system guy?
Hey, he's a lot of things, but we'll get into that later when he's dunking on us every time.
Yeah, so I think it's there were some losses. Some of the names that folks who paid attention last year came to know have left. But I think it's fair to say that there was no player on the team after Stotts who was as good as Wes Berg last year. There's a substantial upgrade in our second scoring option, and I think he seems to be good enough from you know everything I've gathered, that it's like 1A, 1B with him and Austin Stotts.
So is that going to create a big problem for defenses where they're going to have to double two guys? Is that how it generally works?
Well, I think, yeah. I mean, I think we saw last year after Stotts got off to his hot start that defenses focused all of their attention on him. I think that will be harder now.
Yeah.
Well, and if I'm not mistaken, Stotts is a lefty.
Yes.
Berg is a righty.
Right.
So like that provides some balance, I'm guessing, on the field.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I think, you know, that counts as a big upgrade. I think all equal, Seals look better on paper than they did last year. Now, some of those subtractions, Dan Dawson, who was
arguably the second star of the team.
Yes. So, and certainly like a fan favorite. I think that they were calling him Dangerous Dan. Woodsy was calling him that. And so he has left. I don't believe he has signed with anyone. I don't know if he is officially retired.
No, he's on a team.
Oh,
I think
he's on
Rochester or Long Island, one of the two.
Okay.
So he's playing in New York, closer
back
to home.
East Coast. Gotcha. So Dan Dawson's gone. Garrett Billings also is no more. And now Garrett Billings ended up putting up a lot of points for the Seals last year. But he was one of these guys who was on the narrative of the team last year was young guys and old guys that were refinding their career. Billings was one of the older guys. And so he is off the team. Turner Evans, who was kind of like a glue guy, another player on the offensive, he was a forward, was not among the team leaders in points, but he played a lot. And he's gone. And Connor Kelly, who was a rookie that they seemed to have some high expectations for, or at least it seemed that way from the outside, but then they left him unprotected in the expansion draft, and he was taken in that expansion draft, so he's gone.
So he's the one that was injured for most of the year, right? And then they stuck him on the field. Mm-hmm. He won Rookie of the Week, I think, or he won some award, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then just could never match that game again.
Yes, I think.
And there was like talk on whether he could properly adjust from outdoor to indoor and whether he had the skills for it.
Yeah, they had two rookies last year that were high picks who were transitioning from the field game, Connor Fields and Connor Kelly. And it looks like they basically pulled the plug on one of those experiments with Connor Kelly, and Connor Fields is still around. So
And Fields was much better.
We watched
Kelly on the field, and it seemed like he didn't. Sometimes it seemed like he didn't really know what he was doing.
He dropped a lot of passes, I remember. Yeah, it didn't look as natural. It was clear that he was transitioning from the field game. So he's gone. And then in addition to Berg, they have some other new additions as well. They swung a trade on draft day for two veterans from Colorado. One was Zach Greer, who had retired before last season. I have not heard whether he officially has decided to come out of retirement.
They basically said he is, right? Because his brother is the defensive coordinator,
right.
Coach.
There's been a lot of like the Greer brothers are reunited type thing.
So you could trade for somebody somebody's rights where if they do come out of retirement, you'd get.
Well, so the team formally activated him.
Okay.
I think so that they could trade him.
Okay.
Got it. Okay. So Zach Greer, and he is, you know, as you'd expect from somebody who had retired last year, he's been around for a while, but had, you know, I think I looked recently, it was as of a few years ago, he was still scoring quite a few points. And Jeremy Noble was another forward who they picked up. So that's two more offensive additions to go along with Westberg.
And Greer, I mean, as recently as two seasons ago, was an assistant captain on the Mammoth. So, I mean, it's not nothing.
No, not at all. I expect both of those guys to play a lot. Yeah. Just in terms of the four guys I mentioned leaving are all forwards, too. So there's minutes to go around, and I think those guys will step in, play a lot.
So could we make the deduction that, like, this, they could be going away from focusing on player development and just wanting to have, you know, proven guys more.
I mean,
because
they always have to, right? I mean,
of the turnover, right?
We've talked. Like, I've tried to figure out how the salary structures work in NLL, and the most I can gather is that there's a salary cap, and the salary cap went up 50% after the strike.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, but I mean, any team that has a salary cap, like, you need young guys that don't make a lot of money to counteract the veterans. I mean, Westberg held out for a whole year. Like, he's not getting paid nothing. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he's the highest paid player on the team going into this season. So,
right. I think the other thing you can safely say is, like, there is a lot of player movement in this league in general, which I think makes that sort of player development a tricky proposition. You know, if you're going to sit on a guy for 2 years and bring him along slowly when a, you know, average tenure may only be 2 years, I think that's difficult. And, you know, they had a lot of draft picks in the first year draft during their expansion year. So Connor Fields, we mentioned earlier, is still on the team. Connor Kiernan had also was also a first-round pick that year. He's still on the team as a forward. And then Austin Stott. So I think it may be the case that they felt like they were set on young players who they could develop, and where the roster needed shaping up was on the veteran side of things. They also, in the draft this year, they did not have a first round pick. They had 2 second round picks, and they used both of them on defensemen. Also, both of those defensemen are Canadian guys coming from Junior A, so not sort of transition, not experiments, not
playing indoor.
Playing indoor, yeah. Playing indoor Junior A. Matthew Sykes and Devin Maya. Both of them are defensive players that, you know, you would expect to. They went for veterans on the offensive end, and they went for youth on the defensive end, with, you know, using back to back picks there. And from what I've read, both of them seem to be like big physical guys.
I mean, watching the team last year, did you feel like that was like a big thing that was lacking, like that they needed to beef up the defense?
Not really. I mean, I think Merrill really was the star of the defensive unit.
He was coming back, luckily.
Yes,
because there was some question given his age and whatnot. But.
Yeah, exactly. So I never got the sense that they really needed to improve there. They went and picked up Dan Dawson's brother, Paul Dawson, midseason, and he never really made much of an impact. So it seemed like they maybe thought that they had some room to improve there, and I don't know that they got a lot out of that
trade.
Like,
as I recall, like after Stotts got injured, it seemed like the problems and the bad losses were offensive based. Like I remember Remember the Georgia Swarm game that they had, where just the offense got completely shut down without Stotts. And it seems like their focus was to bring in, you know, exciting offensive players to counteract that.
Yeah, and Dawson
and Dawson shouldered a lot of the load last year, but when he went against the really good teams, the Georgia Swarm caliber teams, they pretty effectively shut him down.
Yeah, they did, and he, you know, he certainly has a different body type, but like he's kind of reminded me of like late career Iverson, where like he really is ball dominant when, you know, so he was certainly putting up a lot of points, but it sort of all happened outside of the context of an offensive system. You know, there was a lot of like late in the shot clock, give it to Dawson, improvise ISO, see what you can happen. And I think that was when, especially post Stotts injury, you saw a lot of bad offensive games where there's just no cohesion.
It was feast or famine, really, right? Because Dawson would have a big game where he scored 3 or 4. You know, he'd put up like 6 points, 7 points. But yeah, you're right. It'd be like weird spin move in front that he somehow gets the ball in, or, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I remember, you know, when we watched that Swarm game, you were like, these guys look like they're playing a different game offensively than we were playing at that time. But there were times when everyone was healthy earlier that the offense moved the ball.
Balanced,
Yeah, and I think from the guys that they're bringing back and bringing Berg in, we might be able to see that again.
Yeah, with so much turnover, I mean, do you think we'll see a bunch of, like an adjustment period with getting used to somebody like Berg?
Maybe. I get the sense that it's kind of just the way of things in this league, that there's just so much player movement that, I mean, you like these guys all, like they play with each other in summer leagues. They play with each other in these world indoor leagues. They seem to, and there's a lot of movement within the NLL. I think these guys are used to playing with different guys pretty often.
Do you worry at all that Wes Berg has been out for a year, hasn't played a competitive game in a year? I don't think he's playing in the World Indoor Championships.
Yeah, I don't think he is either. Do you know, did he play in any of the summer leagues?
I don't know.
No.
Yeah. He's American, though, right? I mean,
is he?
I think he's from Colorado.
Okay, interesting. No, I don't know.
Like a University of Denver star.
Yeah. University of Denver did recruit a lot in Canada when they like won their national championship. So,
well, he's 26. So
yeah, from what I can tell on his Instagram, he just does glaringly dangerous things with like putting a bottle on someone's head and then firing a lacrosse ball at full speed at the head. And
That's good content.
It's very incredible.
I'm into that.
Well, I'm glad we've got that on the record. If anything goes wrong, we saw the potential danger here early.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot of things. Do you have any more roster stuff we should talk about? Or
I'm going to miss Dan Dawson. I'm a little sad.
I mean, he's a firefighter. It was a cool story.
Yeah. Cool guy. Very friendly.
Yeah.
You're he was right, good weird in those body type, easy to spot on the field
for sure. He was good in those interstitial videos that they did, during the game. He was like a star of those, along with Frank the Tank. Is also very good in those.
Who's luckily coming back?
Yeah, he's back. Yeah, goalie's back. Coaches are back.
Did they find a backup goalie? Isn't that a kind of a thing?
Not really.
Yeah.
All the draft thing. Yeah, those draft.
That's another one we lost. We lost. I mean, I couldn't name who the backup goalie is, but he got taken in the expansion draft.
Right. Yeah, so I don't know exactly who their backup goalie is, but hopefully we don't have to find out.
Yeah, Frank the Tank was the man.
Yeah, right? He was. Yeah.
Well, a couple things happened in the NLL. There's realignment with the divisions. Do you think that'll affect anything?
Our division's like exactly the same, right?
Right. Yeah. Except the how you make the playoffs changed. Mm-hmm. It's what is it? Is it like the first three get in and then or something, right?
Ah, now I forget. How?
Yeah. All right. There was like at-large wild cards, maybe. Regardless.
Are there more playoff games now?
I remember looking at it and thinking, like, how does this affect us? And I couldn't game out the scenario of how it would change our calculation. So I just said, I guess I don't need to worry about this.
How did it work last year?
I can't say I remember.
It was across the divisions, right? And there was like a certain number of, I don't know how many teams. Four teams, I think, from each side.
Sounds right.
No, I think there were three rounds. There's three rounds in the playoffs, so it's got to be more than that. I think like all, like half the teams made it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, maybe.
Or a little more than half.
Eight teams made it, and there was a bye.
Sounds right.
Okay.
Sounds good. Yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, the realignment's because there's are two new teams this season,
and they're both East Coast.
Both East Coast, yeah. So we do play Halifax, one of the new teams. I don't think we play the Long Island team. Oh, we do. We play at Long Island, I think. So,
okay.
So we will get a little taste of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good. Well, so we have been discussing, if any of our loyal Seal City SD listeners are interested, we've been discussing a potential Seal City SD road trip where we would pick a date on the calendar, see if we could all plan to go, do some things while we're there in addition to going to the game. We wanted to go to a Canadian city. Seemed, well, you know, if we're gonna go,
seems fun.
Seems if we're gonna go on the road, it would be better to go to the place that is the cradle of this sport rather than go to Denver or something like that.
I mean, Denver would be cool too. I think Denver's on the short list as well, but
it's way closer.
Yeah, easier, cheaper, all that. But I think it would be cool to see a full arena.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think other than Vancouver's okay. I think it's kind of like San Diego level attendance. The other Canadian cities like fill the arena, and Denver fills the arena.
Right.
I think it'd be interesting to see what that atmosphere is like.
Yeah, exactly. Saskatoon was
That was my number one choice, but the timing is very poor.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. A lot of the Canadian dates are very poor.
Yeah.
Like I already did research on like the cost of and stuff on how to go there, and for me at least, only the Halifax game
really
date
stands
wise works. Mm-hmm. But then you're looking at an 8.5 hour travel day to get there.
Yeah.
And so it's a little tough.
Yeah, you give up a lot there. We should also say the Seals schedule release had a couple surprises on it. Two TBD days listed along with the expected, seven home games?
Is it 7 or 10? I don't know. I bought a season. I think I get 11 tickets with the thing.
Okay.
One of them is a playoff ticket.
Yeah. And then, which you could just get your money back if they don't make it. They're going to make it. Yeah. There's two TBD days, and then there's been no announcement from the team what those two TBD days are. But the discipline of the NLL media is not quite to the standards of like the NFL or NBA in the draft telecast.
Yeah, they're not controlling the message.
Not controlling the message quite the way Goodell does. The draft telecast let slip that there were rumors of an outdoor game
in Las Vegas. What the draft discussed.
That one of those
I think
TVs.
Lax Sportsnet also reported on the outdoor game in general. So I don't know if that's the other TBD date or if that was referring to Las Vegas, but
okay. So there's two dates where there's not listed where the game will be played, and there are two rumors that may or not be the two separate rumors, they may be the same.
Yeah.
That there's a Vegas discussion and a outdoor discussion.
So we could have a Seal City SD caravan to Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And just
very possibly.
Yeah.
Live pod and prim, keep it going.
I think I would go.
I'm surprised.
Depending on the date, I mean, I think I will be in Las Vegas for that.
Yeah, when is Vegas going to get a team, more importantly?
It actually seems like a perfect market.
That might be what this is all about.
Yeah. Hey.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Well,
when's hockey season? This overlaps with hockey season, right?
But a lot of these arenas house both.
Imagine if they played at the MGM Arena as like their home arena. That would be great.
It would be awesome.
Yeah.
It would be very cool. Yeah. I think also, Sask Rush Fan, who's a loyal listener and an awesome Twitter follow, and seems pretty
in tune with things.
Pretty dialed in. He said maybe one of those TBD days will be like a test run for a possible expansion
new market. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, given what we know about Las Vegas, yeah, it would make sense that would be it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that very well may be our Seal City road trip.
Yeah, it might be hard to pull off two road trips in one season. Yeah. But in any case, reach out. Tell us if you have any thoughts on cities, dates that don't work, or just if you're interested, or if you think the idea of going on a road trip for an indoor lacrosse game is absurd. Tell us that, too.
Yeah. What a great crossover with my Making a Points Millionaire podcast.
That's right.
Points and Miles, available on iTunes and Google Play.
Get some tease, like some real crossover potential. You can give us a few tidbits.
Waiting for my NLL team chase card to come.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah, we need to get on that.
On it.
One interesting thing is one of the TBD dates is Super Bowl weekend. So there's a 50% chance that Las Vegas trip could be on Super Bowl weekend, which would be quite incredible.
Wouldn't be the worst time to be in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, what else do we have on the list here?
On the old list.
Well, Andy and I can proudly say that we're members of the team now.
Yes.
With our membership package.
How's that going for you guys?
I did it.
I've received nothing in the mail. I have no confirmation other than the charge of my credit card bill.
Yeah, that's all I've got too. But
are there any events
internally? I'm very proud of myself.
Yeah, I felt very good about it.
Yeah,
I felt like an accomplishment.
Uh huh.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. I'm into
very affordable. I was surprised that to get your foot in the door with a package, you can get in for like $99.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
how many tickets did you get? Two tickets?
Just one.
Okay, I got two. I feel like I'm going to have a spare ticket.
Well, I got into a lot of detail with them about ticket trading so that when I can't, because I'm not going to be able to make some of the games, it's basically how the Padres were like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Incredibly flexible, can add a seat for my kid or my wife or whatever. So, I can get by with one.
Do you have a rep?
I got a rep.
Yeah,
I got a
membership.
How's that relationship going?
She seems very nice.
Cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mine was a guy. Yeah.
Oh, it's mine. Stephanie Polonia.
Cool.
Seems nice.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, mine was good, too.
She didn't have to do any selling. I knew what I wanted, and I chose. I am Andy adjacent, though.
Oh, yeah. We've planned a little bit, so we can at least have easy meetups.
So what would you like to see, I thought last year, this is what I would like to see, actually. Like, I want to see more stuff on away games, like watch parties, more of like a, I want to feel like I can go see a home game and then go somewhere and watch the game in public
with
people to kind of continue, keep it going. It's mostly going to be on BR Live, right? Like same deal.
All on BR
Live.
Do we know if
there should be a standing away game plan?
Yeah, I think we talked with some of the team people last year about this, and some of the logistics are difficult. One thing they said is it's difficult because a lot of bars don't have BR Live.
Right.
Like, you have to literally bring like a Roku stick and have them plug it into their TV, get it set up on their Wi-Fi. And in some cases, it was just a little too much. But I would like to see them kind of spread it around the county.
Mm-hmm.
They've kind of centered their events on this like Hilton Garden Inn.
Yeah.
The edge of Little Italy, and it's just not an appealing place for me to go.
Right.
They have done a lot of events there. I wonder if there's if like that's where
I'm sure it's a corporate partnership or something. But yeah. But if the goal if the goal is to satisfy the corporate partners, then good, do it there. But if the goal is to get me to go, don't do it there.
Yeah, yeah. Also, Unleash Woods.
Yeah, and if that means doing some events in Solana Beach and Encinitas, then fine, all the better. Yeah.
I mean, could there be a place on like 30th Street, just where I could, you know, that
in Nick's backyard,
yeah. Right?
Could we do
Kairoa?
Kairoa.
Are we talking about Kairoa?
I tried, and they were like, "What is that?"
Yeah,
unreceptive.
Yeah,
did you bring your own stick?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I didn't.
Okay. I mean, I think that there's certainly more they could do with they do really well with like community outreach at like charity events and races and
schools.
I think they're at the fair.
They went to like a million elementary schools.
Yeah,
last year.
And that's good, and it pays off. I mean, I think we've talked about it on the podcast, but like me and Nick saw like this school teacher whose class had come to like three games in a row after they visited the school. Like that's how you build young fans. But at the same time, that's one prong of the program, but I think there's another prong that they could probably improve on.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. I would, and if it doesn't have to be every weekend necessarily, but at least some of the games.
Well, they
Saturday games that are like a little bit easier. Like I might not bust out of work early on a Friday to get to a meetup, but on the Saturday evening games that are away,
right.
I would do that.
Fridays are out for me. I'm never. Yeah. I mean,
Fridays are the
just
worst.
The way the county is set up. Like Fridays are terrible to get anywhere.
Yeah.
Do we know if they're going to be on Fox 5 again? Or those were only home games, though. So it's
yeah,
not like,
I don't know if they've announced that, have they?
No, and I think last year when they announced it, it was like
it was mid-season, within, right?
And it was mid-season. It was like within a few weeks of the games.
Yeah.
So we'll probably have to just keep our eyes peeled for that. I will say that Tabitha Lipkin, who was doing like the sideline reporting for that, seems to still be pretty dialed into what's going on with the Seals.
Yeah, I've seen her very active on social media with the Seal stuff.
So if that's a relationship that they've maintained, that might be an indication of that.
Why haven't we maintained a relationship with Seals commentator Tabitha Lipkin?
I don't know.
Come on this podcast
yeah,
at some point. Yeah,
yeah. She's covered a lot of games. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
What else should we talk about? I don't know.
Oh, the arena.
The arena,
oh,
yeah.
Arena
right.
Talk, yeah. This is what your bread and butter.
I know,
there's been a lot of stuff on the arena hot stove.
Can we call this segment the Pechanga Wars?
yes, we can.
So, big stuff's happening next year, right? There's going to be a changeover of who's in control.
For the first time in the sports arena's history, basically.
Wow.
The organization that books and operates the venue is changing over. It is now the group associated with the Gulls ownership. They have a different doing business as name, but it's the Gulls ownership group. And my understanding was at the time that the Seals were sort of on board with that change. They seemed to like the idea. The Gulls ownership group has kind of just sold the idea that they're going to book the venue much more often and with higher profile events than the previous group was doing it. One thing I wonder about is like how the two TBD dates play with the ownership group's idea to like keep that place filled as much as possible. But in any case, I mean, you know, the Nuno ownership group is promising a better user experience, you know, a better consumer experience in the venue. So we'll see if they make good on that promise. But if so, that's
I mean, good. As far as Seals games go, there's probably room for improvement.
But
I
can't imagine it, really. I was pretty damn happy.
No, no,
about
I mean,
it.
I liked it, but there's a lot of stands that weren't open for the Seals games that are open for Gulls games. I'm sure some of that is driven by attendance, but even like the opening night game where it was like a bona fide sellout almost in there.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I walk by the poutine stand.
Yeah.
I wanted a little poutine. Yeah, it was closed.
The poutine stand, I mean, this is a Canadian league. The poutine stand
should be
open.
Absolutely
right?
Should be open.
It's really simple, yeah. I actually that's one thing to keep an eye out. I wonder if they opt to close the upper seating areas.
Well, they're selling season tickets.
They're selling
for
season, so they're not. So that's no. So that's a no. Forget about that.
I mean, they don't curtain anything, do they?
They don't.
Curtain the entire upper deck, basically the ends of the upper deck.
Yes.
I don't think the Seals curtain anything.
They didn't last year. No.
Yeah. Which mostly wasn't a problem in the playoff game, which by circumstances was that a Tuesday night?
Right, yeah.
It was a Tuesday
Monday.
Night.
It was a Monday.
Monday night.
It was a weeknight.
Weeknight, yeah. So crowd wasn't great that night. and it looked probably even emptier than it was because it was spread out a little bit. But, you know, as you say, on opening night and some of those other Saturday night games, there was a healthy crowd. It didn't seem to be a problem.
Yeah, well, like with a new person running it or a new group running it, would there be a reprioritization of, like, who gets the best dates? I mean, would the Seals be able to move up the line?
I mean, the Goals already got the best.
The Goals
dates,
are the
right?
best.
The Goals yeah, are going to get the best dates. I mean, that was one thing I thought was, like, maybe the Seals aren't on board with this because they're going to be so second seat to the Gulls. Seems like they were fine with the shift, though, and maybe that's because they recognized that they were already second in line to the Gulls, so it doesn't really make that big a difference.
And then the Sockers and Strike Force. I mean, Strike Force are running back.
The Strike Force are back. Can you guys believe that?
I can't. I cannot.
Can you believe they outlasted the Fleet?
I can't believe they came back for week two, honestly. But like,
they did. Damn, they... Good for them.
Can we all go to a game?
Is it good for them? Is it good for them?
I don't think it's good for our community at all. I don't think it's healthy. I saw a guy wearing a jersey in OB yesterday because it was football Sunday, and he was like wearing a Strike Force jersey.
Do you think he played?
I think he did. Yeah, he looked like an athlete. I don't know. He's big. But
did you like really want
to
stop him?
I really did want to talk to him. Like, hey, you don't have to do this. You know.
You had a good run, man. Don't worry about it. Your knees are intact now.
Football doesn't have to happen.
Yeah.
We don't have to have it.
I don't know. The second tier sport pantheon, we do have some new entrants since the Seals last played a game. 1904 had their kickoff event.
I went to that. That was fun.
I go to all
opening nights.
Are you going to be at the Tony Gwynn Game 2, 1904 FC? Well, isn't that always the second game? The amateurs came out for opening
The
real fans.
Well, that is Saturday. That is Saturday night. So
I mean, there could be literally hundreds of people there.
there were thousands.
They announce like 3,000?
Yeah, it felt like that towards the middle of it.
It kind of felt like when the Seals would announce that they had 88,000 people at the game, and there was clearly not 8,000 people.
You know? Yeah.
It was a Seals 3, I would say.
It was a Seals 3.
No, but it did fill out like one side of it. It felt like a CIF like championship game or something like that, you know.
Is that good? It's on par with our local high school sports?
So they only had one gate open, I think, or like two gates, and then they had a couple concession stands. So it was a real stripped down operation. It was fun. It was like really comfortable, real easy. Everybody basically sat wherever they wanted.
And how was the tailgating scene?
It was fun. There was a lot of there was taco carts, and there was a lot of people grilling, and they had like a little mini soccer demonstration for kids to play like street soccer. It was cool.
You know what? I'm going to add that. I think the Seals should have a little more activity in the parking lot.
That's a good idea.
That's a good idea.
I tried to set up tailgates. I had one real tailgate, and our beloved listeners all came out to it. But I think it would be – I mean, they got the space, right? I mean,
yes, they do have the space. There's an ample parking space area.
I think either an organized thing at like a nearby, you know, Bay City Brewing or something nearby or something in the parking lot would be – a big addition to the feeling of community around the team.
Yeah, for sure. And if you do it in the parking lot, bring out some fiddlesticks, let the kids play around, you know, throw balls at the Seal. What's the Seal's name? Salty?
Salty.
Salty, yeah. Chuck balls at Salty.
Pin the pill on Salty or something.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, that's the thing. That's what I guess I wonder. And they do spend a lot of money in these areas. But like, I just wonder, because they have so much money, why can't they just throw money at that stuff? Like, make it a carnival in the parking lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Throw a bounce. I mean, bounce houses are like, you can buy one for like $500. Just stick
a
bounce
house.
We
are
living
in like a golden era of bounce houses. When we were kids, like, you saw a bounce house pretty rarely. It was a big deal. You got like, now I haven't been to a kid's party in years that didn't have a bounce house.
Because it's only like $120.
And they just set it up. They set it up for you. They get rid of it. It's crazy. So yeah, let's get some bounce houses.
My wife got invited to a party for a 45-year-old, and he got a bounce house just for the kids. Just to keep him busy. Yeah,
that's
his
smart.
Yeah, smart.
It's like a cooler at this point. You have a cooler, a beer, and a bounce house all the time. Here's one thing to look forward to. Are they going to – the like in-game elements, are they going to trim that a little bit? Are we going to have
– see the size of the new Seals dance team? They've expanded the dance team.
Well,
I would have bet anything that dance team was going to get trimmed by, you know, 20%.
I mean,
but
do they have like
it's bigger?
Bigger.
More.
Is there like relegation, like the A team? And
is there anyone who dances in San Diego County that isn't on that team?
It's a good question. I mean, the team picture that they took of the SEALs sirens is clearly using the new iPhone 11 wide angle lens to capture all of them.
How many are you got? 60 women?
It's like 30, 35, 40.
35, 40.
That's more than the roster.
Right.
The team, yeah.
That is a lot.
How many Charger girls were there? Like 20, 20 maybe?
Something, yeah.
Yeah. So that half of them could sit down.
Yeah.
At any given time.
So, I mean, that is expanded. I can't speak for the lowriders.
Yeah, so
what do we think of the lowriders?
I kind of like it. I think it's a...
I was always a little confused on how this was San Diegan in nature, but...
Well, South Bay has a well-established lowrider culture.
Does it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Where is that, down South County?
Yes, I know it is south of Encinitas. No, if you got a, you know... Barrio Logan, National City, Chula Vista. There's lowriders are a thing.
Is that the market you market a lacrosse team to? Is that
well? I think it's commendable to not concede to that out, market yeah. to try to expand the sport into that, which is part of what I liked about it.
Well, if they set the bar that high, will there be children who are like, why aren't there pyrotechnics?
Yeah, where are the bouncing lowriders?
I was promised we're lowriders, Mom. Yeah.
I mean, it is a spectacle. Like, kids like spectacles. It doesn't matter what the spectacle is, but they like the spectacle. And I know my daughter, she doesn't dance or do cheer or anything, but like she likes seeing the girls dance and then stand behind you and shake their pom poms. Like,
right. Aren't there junior sirens too?
There was a junior siren thing.
Okay,
good.
All right, so a lot there too.
Yeah,
and then there's the silk, the like trapeze
yeah,
artists,
the silk
halftime.
Gymnast
yeah.
thing
at halftime. So there's that as well. I don't know. Do we think any one of these elements will be eliminated in year two?
I think if anything, they get bigger.
Bigger, more.
I mean, a lot of these lacrosse teams, like it's kind of seasonal. The work, the
yeah.
jobs,
yeah, yeah.
And it ebbs and flows. But I do know they kept Mike Grace on for the entire time, the head of in-game entertainment. So my guess is he's been working on this stuff nonstop, right, to improve. And
so there might be an entirely new element for year two that we haven't even
I mean we
get to learn about.
I'd like to see some of the same and that yeah some new elements brought in.
A big controversy was the music. I mean, do you think they scale that back or
like playing the music during
yeah.
But that was the best part.
I thought that was fine, but
I think that's a league thing.
Okay.
Govet told us, I think, that it's weird to not have the music because
yeah.
you're running on turf.
That makes sense.
You
yeah.
don't have cleats, like it's totally silent. There's no whack of a bat like baseball.
Right.
Well, we flirted with it for a while, but I do think they should have like certain genres of music for each quarter. So like, you know, we have the third quarter ska core.
Yeah.
Of course.
You know, I mean that's great. It keeps you there after the beer special dies, you get to cool down with some ska. But like maybe they could do that with like a hip hop first quarter.
Fourth quarter if we're losing, it's just Tom Waits only.
Oh, this is incredible.
Yeah, just, yeah.
Yeah.
The jam band quarter, we could talk to Andy about it.
You guys want to do a jam band game? I am your guy. I will help you set it up. You guys want to book some halftime entertainment? I'll help you with that too. That's a standing offer. Grace, if you're out there, jam band episode. Let's do it.
Or could they do more? They could do like more interactive stuff. Like he kind of started doing that, right?
I mean, I think they're pretty
interactive, like where you bring a guy out to make a goal from the half line.
They did a hot dog, right? Very fast. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were doing like long toss, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Thanks. We talked about last year. That was like a pretty A level entertainment for a team
yeah.
of this size, right?
For a second tier sport, I think they were leading the pack in what they were providing.
Yeah. It was a lot though, I have to say. I think they could I could think they could do some editing. They could make a decision around some of that stuff.
Yeah. You know, just shake it up. A little
shake
variety.
Yeah.
Shake it up.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I do think that they have an emphasis on improving attendance. Everything that I've heard,
yeah.
They would really like to improve attendance at the games. I don't know if that means that they didn't meet expectations in year one or that we've met them and there's always room for growth, but I think they're going to try to find new ways. I don't think they can go in and just do the same. I think they're trying new things.
Well, they're not going to have a labor dispute going into it.
Right.
So
timing will be better.
No labor dispute.
They've done like youth camps over the off season, and that seems like it's a good way to bring in a lot of new mm-hmm. new people. So.
Yeah.
So the first game is December 16th, right?
Against home game or
home game is
against Buffalo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are they going to do? I wonder. I mean, they did last year. They did like a scrimmage where they kind of it was like the last scrimmage before they whittled down the roster. That was a really good event. I went to that. That was fun.
I wouldn't be surprised if they did that again. Yeah.
Free, right? It was free.
It was free. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And I remember at the time, like, I couldn't have cared less about the action on the field. I wanted to hear how Woods was. Cause I think that's what we on Twitter were all just focused on how Woods was.
Well, he didn't know lacrosse.
Right.
But now he's got a year in. Like, Woods.
He's the biggest advocate for lacrosse in town now.
Yeah, I know.
Well, that was back when you were asking the question, do these games matter?
Yeah.
Well, I think we answered it.
Well, did we ever?
We did a pretty in-depth acquisitions and losses segment.
And look, it's been another terrible year of sports in San Diego. And honestly, the Seals, they might be the glimmering high point in the last calendar year of San Diego sports.
I really miss being inside of Pacheco. I'll tell you right now. I just like, I love all of it. I just like being there.
I know. Yeah. That is like the one thing we couldn't be more out of step with the team on is like they're convinced that they need a new arena. And I'm like, change nothing. I'll go to that every Saturday through the winter for the next 15 years.
Yeah, just an old-fashioned, massive parking lot.
Yes, exactly.
No underground garages. Like
no boxes. It's like you're looking, you're just like, do you want to go over there? Okay, just walk over there. It's like the least complicated architectural wonder.
Well, I mean, we talked about this last year a lot, but like, you know, the MLB's offseason is so jarring now where you're just constantly looking at these vague rumors and stuff. And like, I remember going to these games on a Friday night and it was just like, I'm not going to care about whether or not we're going to sign Noah Syndergaard or trade for Noah Syndergaard or something like that. Like I'm in Seals world right now. I'm not worried about Padres, you know, anxiety Twitter about who they're going to sign or not sign or Manny, you know, like it's just, that was a real relief for me, honestly.
This is like, it might be out of touch of me, but like downtown is fine, I think. Like Petco Park is fine.
Yeah.
But I kind of like the feeling that Pechanga Arena is a destination and that there is nothing else there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's like a couple little breweries nearby that you can go
off-site,
to.
Off-site, though.
They're off-site, and like, right, exactly.
I go there to go to the game. I don't need to go there to bar crawl and then find dinner reservations. And then, you know, I get the appeal of an entertainment district.
Yeah.
But I also, I don't know if it's nostalgia or is it being a sports lover, but like I like that I go to a Seals game for a Seals game. There may be a tailgate involved with the Seals game, but mm-hmm. I'm there for the game and then I'm out of there after the game. Like it's refreshing.
On that same note, this is not related to the Seals, but there's been a lot of dunking on the Raiders this year because they still have a baseball diamond on their football field in this part of the season. And like to me, the time I grew up watching football, like there is nothing that says September NFL football quite like a highlight package that includes a guy running through a baseball field for no good damn reason.
Yeah.
And like that is kind of exactly how I feel about the arena in a giant parking lot model of going to see sports.
Yeah.
Like that takes me back to 1993.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, let's say they'd built the arena in Seaport Village. Like, that had been the thing that won. It's not the same feeling, I think.
No.
To go to Cheesecake Factory at the whatever that development is and then walk over to the arena. Like, it's not saying it's a bad or a bad experience. It's just not what I want.
Yeah. You know? It's also, I mean, it's easy. Going to a Seals game is, like, not a it's not a logistical chore. You just go over there. Drive over there. You're at the game. It's great.
I mean, what can you get downtown that you can't get off the Applebee's, you know, appetizer menu, honestly?
Chili's.
Is it Chili's?
Come on. Chili's. Which is considerably better than Applebee's.
I think we should actually do our Chili's pregame at some point.
We definitely should.
No problem with that.
They have good tortilla chips at Chili's.
Chili's it's fine.
It is.
It's not cool to say that, but the food is fine.
Chili's is fine. Applebee's isn't fine. TGI Fridays isn't fine. Ruby Tuesdays isn't
fine.
But Chili's is fine.
All right. Well, I think that's a good place to wrap up, right? Chili's. Pro Chili's podcast.
We're pro Chili's on this podcast.
Not an ad. Not an ad. But we'll come back, you know, before the season, maybe a few times.
At least one more before the season kickoff.
Yeah, and try to get down to a game. It's a blast.
It's cheap.
It's cheap. We'll be down there.
Yep. You know, one last thing on the tickets. I did the math on it. And, like, it's not just that the tickets themselves are cheaper, but I bought a ticket for every game I went to last year, but I bought them, like, single game-wise. It would be, like, a $30 ticket, and there'd be, like, $13 in fees on it.
Yes.
And if you buy the season ticket package, like, there's no fees. It's like, great. That alone saved me, like, hundreds of dollars over the course of the season. So,
yeah, and now you're locked in. You just know that you have a ticket to every game. Unless you're out of town, you'll be going to the game. It's great.
Yeah,
it's good to know.
Cool. Well, we'll see you next time. Seal City SD.
Go Seals. Blair Hart, this is our house with a San Diego Seal. We must protect this field. We must protect this field. We must protect this field. Blair Hart, this is our house with a San Diego Seal.